This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam. Excuse me. Adam Carriker here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, you check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com. You can check out yours truly at theticketfm.com as well. Also, CarrickerChronicles.com. Also, YouTube, simply. Type in Carriker Chronicles, the Adam Carriker Show. What are you going to hear? Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. What are you going to get? You're going to get unique insight, unbridled honesty. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Steve Taylor does a phenomenal job on Wednesdays. Grab your lunch. Come join us here on The Ticket, Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. And we got a loaded show today. I'm going to shock you with that. Matt Rhule. Can he be the next Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day? Also, reactions to the national championship game, Notre Dame, Ohio State. We're going to dive into that. And then I saved two of the NFL playoff games, the Commanders and Lions. We're going to react to that probably second, maybe third segment. And the Bills and the Ravens. So I'll dive into those a little bit more. I didn't get into them yesterday's show. I'll get into them later in this show, either the second or third segment. But we're going to start right off the top, as we always do. Well, as long as I remember, but we always eventually get to it. The prize for the Daily Trivia Contest, it's a $100 gift certificate. All you have to do is call in. All right? You win. You call in, you win. But we'll bring you on air. We'll have some fun. I got a fun, unique trivia question for you today. All right, what's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right, so just kind of a brief synopsis of the game. Notre Dame, and then we'll talk about Matt Rhule. Can he be the next Ryan Day? Can he be the next Marcus Freeman? What can Nebraska football look like, comparatively speaking, going forward? All right, Notre Dame, right off the bat, I loved how they started the game. 75 yards, 18 freaking plays. They took 9:45 off the clock. They go up 7-0. Riley Leonard ran the ball 9 times in the first drive. He was like, you know, when you're like, oh, what's the game? Well, just regular football video game. When the player's like all red because he's exhausted. That had to be Riley Leonard at the end of that first drive after 9 carries. He was like the all red guy in the video game or the Mortal Kombat guy where parts of his body are just pulsating because he's been beat up or he's tired. Hey, that was a great opening drive. Great statement. The longest drive in a BCS or national championship college football playoff game in history. Ohio State responds. 11 plays, 75 yards. Take 6:05 off the clock. Score. Make it 7-7. Ohio State scored a touchdown in all four of their college football playoff games and all four opening drives. All right. Let's see. Ohio State's two playoff games prior to the national championship game, they gave up an average of 35 yards per game rushing. In that first drive versus Notre Dame, they gave up 44 yards just in the first drive. Obviously, Ohio State wins the game. They take over the game. Now, I made a note here. I said, I'm just going to ignore looking at President Ted Carter on the sidelines for Ohio State. I'm just going to ignore that. Made a little note there. Okay, but Ohio State took the lead on the second drive, which was another drive that just took over 6 minutes, capped off by a Quinshon Judkins touchdown. Ohio State takes the lead 14-7. And I noted, both teams are kind of playing old school smash mouth football right here. And I like that. It was hard because after that opening drive for Notre Dame, all right, their next two drives were both, after 18 plays, were both 3-and-outs. Their next three drives was a combined 11 plays for a total of 27 yards. They had the fake punt, which honestly, if the guy just catches it, it's a first down. But it doesn't work out. There was an interesting note that I made. Notre Dame wide receiver Jordan Fasano. It's actually his second national championship game that he's played in within the past year. He's a star lacrosse player. So he's Notre Dame's best wide receiver. And he's a star lacrosse player for the Notre Dame lacrosse team. I believe they won the title this past year. They're preseason number one going into this upcoming season. Now, with 3 minutes left in the second quarter, it's almost halftime. I was curious how Notre Dame, because you probably heard they play man-to-man more than any other team in the entire country. Not many people want to play man-to-man versus Notre Dame. They only played man-to-man three times in the first half. They gave up two touchdowns on those two man-to-man plays. All right. But their pressure rate was 0%. And I didn't monitor it the rest of the game. But with 3 minutes left to go until halftime, their pressure rate was 0% at that point. And I was like, man, they are, and they were playing a lot more zone. So clearly, they were like, hey, we respect Ohio State's deep ball ability, their ability to throw the ball. Will Howard set a national championship game record by completing 12 straight passes. He completed 81% of his passes. All right. And as we know, Ohio State goes into the half. They're up 21-7. They build a 28-7 lead. I think it was 31-7 at one point. I kind of lost track, but credit to Notre Dame. They were banged up. They were kind of outgunned. And they made it interesting in the end, got it back to 31-23. If they make that field goal that they missed right before, it was like 31-15. And they attempted the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. It actually would have been 31-26 because they did get to 31-23 and made it very interesting. Ultimately, Ohio State wins. They pull away. They do win. They do cover. All right. And I would have taken, prior to yesterday, I would have taken Notre Dame to cover, but Ohio State to win with all the banged up injuries. Notre Dame made it about as close as I honestly thought they would. I thought it'd be about 10 to 14 points. They lose by 11, 34-23. So Ohio State wins. They do cover. I'm so happy for Ryan Day. I really am. Everything that dude's been through, criticism, which honestly I felt was justified. I really did. Death threats, never justified. Things were against his family sometimes, never justified. I was so happy for him. I had no reason to really root for Ryan Day personally. Ohio State, they're a Big Ten team. But beyond that, I was just happy because of everything he's been through to get that championship. Now, if only they could find someone to drive the golf cart after the game. The poor girl who was driving Ryan Day, Will Howard, after they won the national title, they get in the golf cart, she goes to take off, rams it into the wall. Like, I'm not just talking little bumper car thing. No, rams it into the wall to the extent that they have to get out of the golf cart and just walk wherever it is that they were going. Even when Ryan Day's winning, he can't win. He wins a national title, and he still can't get a proper golf cart driver. I just thought that was kind of crazy. Very happy for him, though. Marcus Freeman, he's done a phenomenal job at Notre Dame, a job that Brian Kelly said you couldn't win at, you couldn't beat SEC teams at, you couldn't win a national title. Now, obviously, they didn't win one, but they beat the SEC champ in Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Had a great season. I love the way Marcus Freeman carries himself, the way he goes about his business. He's built Notre Dame a little bit differently than Ohio State's been built. It's hard not to root for a guy like that. And so for me, my thought was, can Matt Rhule, can he be, and he needs to be the next Matt Rhule, he needs to be Matt Rhule. But Matt Rhule hasn't gotten to the heights that Marcus Freeman or Ryan Day have been at. So he's got to do it his own way, but you can always learn. You can always get better. I'm watching these two programs, and I'm like, can Matt Rhule be the next Marcus Freeman and or Ryan Day? In other words, can he get us to the college football playoff, and can we eventually at some point in the future, at some point in the future, make a run? Contend legit for a Big Ten championship. Be in the Big Ten championship game. Maybe at some point win it. Get to a college football playoff. I mean, my Lord, Indiana and SMU. Who before the season had Indiana and SMU in the college football playoff? It can be done. And once you get there, look at the Commanders. I've sat in NFL meeting rooms, and the college football has turned into the NFL in so many ways. Again, talked about this ad nauseum. Ohio State, any other year in the history of college football, they'd have been out. Didn't win their conference, didn't play for it, had two losses, bad losses, finished fourth in the Big Ten, not even in the top three, fourth. Yet, they win the national title. So, I've sat in NFL meeting rooms, like Mike Shanahan, with the Skins. He flat out told us before the season, he goes, I don't care what seed we are. And back then, there was six teams that got in the NFC, six in the AFC. They've since expanded to seven on each side. He's like, I just want to be one of the six teams that gets in the NFC. Because once you get in, that's all that matters. The second season, anything can happen. That's what college football has turned into. Can Matt Rhule be the next Marcus Freeman or Ryan Day? Now, I do believe, and I know for a fact, that 1890 has stepped up. The NIL has stepped up. It has improved. It is giving us a chance to be in conversations and to win some of the transfer portal and high school recruiting battles that otherwise would have been way more challenging and the odds would have been stacked even higher against us. Ohio State, largely built through the NIL. Chip Kelly's a good offensive coordinator. I do believe Ryan Day is a good coach, but they were unequivocally the best roster in America. I've been saying that since last summer. I predicted them to win it last summer because they had the best roster. My big question mark was Will Howard. I said a few times, they got the best 21 players in America. My question mark is the guy who lost his job at Kansas State, how's he going to perform? And he did pretty darn good. He went from losing his job at Kansas State to now some scouts got him as like a first-round pick potentially, slowly sneaking up the draft boards. I want to know from the text line, would you take Will Howard as a first-round pick? And I posed this on social media last night. Would you? Because there are some scouts that don't have Shedeur Sanders as a first-round pick. Let's change that question. Would you rather draft Will Howard or Shedeur Sanders? Let me know on the text line. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
It continues to never change. But I like just hearing Jake say it. Make sure he's awake, not snoozing over there. Let me know. Would you rather have Will Howard or Shedeur Sanders? If you were an NFL GM and they were both available, you needed a quarterback, and you're on the clock in the draft, who would you take? Now, Matt Rule, can you be the next Marcus Freeman or Ryan Day? Our collective in 1890 and our NIL has stepped up. We're eventually going to go to revenue sharing. That's going to make life easier. There's going to be contracts. There's already some players that are actually signing contracts so they can't enter the portal 15,000 times. Not everybody. That day's coming to where everybody does it. This summer, revenue sharing's coming. That's going to make it easier. I don't know that we're going to be so similar to the Ohio State model, though, as we will Notre Dame.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It was one of the reasons, and it happened. It happened. I said, I'm going to try to force myself to root for Ohio State, but I'm going to inevitably root for Notre Dame. As much as I'm going to whine and complain and moan that they're not in a conference because it's absolutely god-awful that they're not all offseason, I knew because they're the underdog, and I like Marcus Freeman, and I like the way that they play football this year, Notre Dame. I knew I was going to end up rooting for them, and by God, I did. The only reason I rooted for Ohio State at the end was because I predicted that Ohio State was going to win in cover, and I'm like, oh God, they're down by eight. I need them to win by more than eight just so I can say that I was right. You know, the important things in life, right, Jake? You got to have your priorities.
That's right. Got to be right.
That's right. That's what matters. So that's my wife. She does a phenomenal job of being right way more than I am, unfortunately. I look at Notre Dame, and I see a path that can be akin and or similar to Nebraska. Now, people don't go to Notre Dame with the religious standards and the academic standards unless they really want to be there. So they don't tend to have the amount of people transfer that other schools do. And they're also going to tend to have less people transferring in because they don't have as many people transferring out. And Marcus Freeman has done a great job in a northern state, in a cold environment, in a state of Indiana that's known way more for basketball than football, by most people anyways. Obviously, Notre Dame's known for football specifically. And he's managed to build a culture in a time and a place and an era when it's hard to do it. He has built a team that played complementary football. We're going to run the ball. We're going to stop the run. We're going to play great special teams. They were number one in the country in turnovers, points off, well, turnovers forced and points off turnovers. Point differential margin in as far as forcing turnovers. That was really easy for me to say. But you get my point. They weren't the most talented. They have a good roster. But they needed to run the ball, hence their quarterback running the ball nine times on the first drive. They needed to stop the run. They needed to beat you in the little things, special teams, turnovers, penalties. And that was really how they did it all year. Outside of one game, that was how they did it. That's how they beat Georgia, which has the top two roster in America. I think Georgia was number two, in my humble opinion. Then you got Texas and Oregon right there, three or four. Alabama, talent-wise, is easily top five. Talent composite rankings has them number one. A lot of young players mentioned that a million times. My point is, I look at Notre Dame, And I think we can spend enough money in the NIL collective to say, hey, we're in this conversation of these teams that were in this playoff, Indiana, SMU, and everyone else that was in there, Arizona State, Boise State, Penn State. We can be in this conversation now. Matt Rhule's obviously made some adjustments. He's obviously building more through the portal, and necessarily so. I mean, we had to. And you could argue maybe he was too loyal to some of the older players for too long. That's a fault that I don't hate in a coach, but he's recognizing things he needs to change. Special teams, offense. All right, I'm going to have to go more through the portal. He's learning on the job. Tom Osborne learned on the job. Other coaches have learned on the job. Ryan Day is still learning on the job because when is he going to beat Michigan? Hey, I'm happy for the guy. But he's still learning on the job, and he just won a national title. I look at Marcus Freeman. I see similarities as far as conduct of character between him and Matt Rhule. They both are high-class individuals. I see guys who want to build a program from the inside out while calling necessary audibles in the way they're going to build the program along the way. I see guys who want to play physical football, want to play defense, want to run the ball, although I am excited to see Dana Holgorsen's offense next year. I know it's not pure air raid, but I'm excited to see it nonetheless. And I look at a school like Notre Dame that Brian Kelly said, you can't do it here. Clearly you can. And I look at a school like Nebraska. Well, people say, you can't do it there. Bull crap. You can. Did it here for over 40 years. First and foremost, have done it with other programs. Look at volleyball. Baseball just won a Big Ten title. Nebraska women's basketball is doing pretty good. You look at wrestling's top 10. It can be done here. Don't give me that crap. I already talked about how every national champion, JUCO, FCS, FBS, and the like, all of them are from the North this year. It can be done. Brian Kelly said it couldn't be done at Notre Dame. I'm going to LSU, where Marcus Freeman is going to have a better win-loss record than me going forward, but I'm going to go anyways. And Marcus Freeman's done a great job. I think the kicker for me was when Brian Kelly started whining, complaining, and moaning when he lost 2 5-star players because they went elsewhere for more money. And I'm like, pot, kettle, black, what? That's when I kind of turned on Brian Kelly. Like, all right, I hated what you did. Now I hate that you're whining about people doing the same thing that you did. I'll leave Brian Kelly alone. My point is simply this. I look at the effort our NIL is making. I look at how Notre Dame won and has been built. And I see Matt Rhule possibly being able to do it very similarly and getting us into that playoff at some point. I'm not talking this year. I'm not saying it won't happen this year. At some point. And when you get in, you never know what can happen. The two teams who just played for the national title were the 7th and 8th seeds. Yes, the way we see teams is asinine. But this year, they were the 7th and the 8th seeds. There's a 6th seed from the NFC, the Commanders, playing in the NFC Championship game this weekend with a rookie freaking quarterback, I might add. I'm willing to be patient with this. But I do see some similarities between specifically what Notre Dame has done and what Matt Rhule is trying to do. And the potential is there for a similar path to us playing at a much higher level and being talked about more nationally because we're winning more football games. Now, specifically, what does that mean? Got to let it unfold. All right, Jake. That was a very unplanned diatribe. I hope it made sense. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think you're going to have to be patient to see Nebraska kind of get that result. You know, you kind of think about maybe they can do it here and there. And I think that's kind of where Nebraska is as a program. There's certain programs that are going to be year after year monsters. And in Nebraska, just at that point, I mean, maybe they can build into that. But right now, you look at even the teams, and I'm wondering about Notre Dame next season. Look at the teams that finished runner-up the last couple years in these you know, playoffs. TCU, Washington. I mean, so that tells you, right? It can be done. You can get there, but can you sustain it? You know, we'd have to wait and see. But my God, Nebraska fans would just like to get there. One great season would be enough for Nebraska fans, at least for a bit.
You make a good point with the runner up. I mean, if you remember, TCU actually didn't win the Big 12. Kansas State did that year. So I always thought TCU was kind of fraudulent. Had they gone undefeated, won that overtime game, the Big 12 Conference Championship game versus Kansas State, it would have felt different. But I was kind of like, oh. And then they beat Michigan, which is kind of those anybody can beat anybody on any given day type games. That's how I felt. Like, didn't J.J. McCarthy have like four picks and two pick sixes? Like, just kind of an anomaly type day. And TCU was good, but I didn't even think they should be one of the top four teams. But hey, kudos to them. You look at Washington. I can tell you for a fact they were built different. They were built through the portal. People came, people left. There's going to be a lot more volatility if you build purely through the portal. Look at Florida State. About as volatile as you can get. Undefeated to, my God, what were they? 2-11 since, if you include the 63-3 Orange Bowl loss to Georgia and then this past season where they went 2-10 and they only beat one FBS team. That's kind of why I'm like, I see Rule adjusting and doing more through the portal, but that's kind of why I looked at Notre Dame. They want to build more from the inside out, have a better foundation. So while it may take longer, which is why I preach patience and I'm like, give it time. I'm willing to be patient. I think it'll be more sustainable long-term. And I just want to get in the conversation. So I kind of think like Matt Rule, the way he's wanting to do things, build things. I see it akin. And just like I said, the conduct of their character. It's hard not just to just be a fan of Marcus Freeman in general. Matt Rule does kind of approaches things very similar in my humble opinion. Like I said, very high classy guys who want to do things the right way. And that's kind of why I look at Notre Dame, and I don't know if they'll make the national title game next year or whatever. I have no idea what they do or don't have coming back. But I do know they're built more from the inside out, and I think it's a little bit more sustainable to be consistent long term. So any final thoughts there, Jake?
No, yeah, no, you make some good points. It's interesting to see. Again, Nebraska has their own challenges. I think it's hard to jump to that level of asking this, right? Like, that's the goal and that's the hope at some point. But even when Nebraska builds back to, you know, hopefully your 8-9 win mark, Matt Rule's going to have to start proving he can win top 25 games. I mean, there's a few hurdles for me to get over about consistently beating Minnesota's and Iowa's before we get into making a college football playoff run. Now, it can all happen at once. Some of these teams have done that, right? Indiana just went from, you know, really down low to a college football playoff appearance. So it can happen at once, but just seems like a lot of obstacles to bypass along the way.
No, you make a great point. Like Indiana went from 3-9 to 11-1. They won more total combined games this year than they did the previous 3 years combined. They won more Big Ten Conference games this year than they did the previous 3 years combined. So you make a great point. What I'm not saying is I'm not saying this year. I'm not even saying next year. Okay. What I am saying is being patient a couple of years down the road. I'd be happy. Like we've talked about the leap and the jump, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more throughout the offseason. To me, that says 9 wins. I'd be shocked if I ever do a preseason prediction where I predict us to win 9 games. I'd be flabbergasted. That's Rule saying jump, the year 3 jump, which I wish he'd stop saying. It just brings undue and unnecessary pressure that maybe he thrives under. Maybe that's why he does it. I'd be happy with 7, I guess. That'd be like the bare minimum. Let's keep getting better. I think 8 would be pretty good. And if we had a long snapper this year, we could have beaten Illinois and at least tied Iowa, gone to overtime, probably win that game. We win 8 games this year. So I do feel like that's feasible. And then you start talking about maybe 9-10 wins and things of that nature down the road. So again, I'm kind of looking more long term, to be clear. I'm not talking about next year, but long term. Marcus Freeman lost his first 3 games as a head coach. Okay, so Brian Kelly bolts. They play Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl. They lose. Then they lose the opening game the next year. Then they lose to freaking Marshall. And oh, wow, people were starting. The locker room that erupted when he was announced as the head coach, all of a sudden everyone was like, this may not be the guy. So he started off pretty rough as well. You look at Ryan Day, who's been probably the most heavily criticized coach in America. All right. And so it took Marcus Freeman a while to build a backup and to get that first win and kind of build from there. So maybe it's a little bit similar to Matt. Maybe we get 8 wins this year. Maybe we build to 9 or 10 the next year. And then maybe we're in a conversation where hopefully we're not as volatile as some of these other teams, but we're in that conversation for potentially going to Indy if we can beat the Minnesotas and the Iowas and all those teams consistently, like you said, because that's a great point. But then we're in that conversation for, hey, can we get in the playoff somehow? And by then it maybe have 82 teams in it. So, you know, by then we might be in the playoff just if we go 500. So, all right. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.